you another example of, because this is an area of research where we call it as mind-body medicine, how mind impacts your physical body, the health. Let me give you another example. So these researchers from University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA School of Medicine, they wanted to test, does this belief have so much impact? Does this expectation have so much impact on the health? So they picked up 50 people, divided them into two groups, 25 and 25, who were suffering from headache. They called the first group in. They said, we are researching a new treatment for your chronic headaches. So this is a new pill that we have come up with. And each pill costs you $10. That's about 450 rupees. They called the second group. They gave them the pills. They said, you come after 1 week and then let us know. They called the second group. They said, this is a new pill for your headache. We are subsidizing. And the cost is only 10 cents. This is about 4 rupees 50 paise. So they gave the pill. And then after a week, they called both of them. 25 in the first group, 25 in the next group. What do you think was the result? 20 people in the first group, they said they got well. Less than 10 in the second group, they said they got well. And the twist is both of them were given only a sugar pill. It did not even have any pharmacological content. They just gave a sugar pill. And translated to our day-to-day life. When we go to a doctor with a complaint, and the doctor says, Amma, aapko kuch nahi hua hai. Aap ek crocin le lo, bas theek ho jayega. Okay. You go to a next doctor, because you are not happy. There is something inside bothering you. So you go to a next doctor, pay him about 350 rupees as consulting fee. He writes a bunch of scans and tests, which will cost you another 3 to 4 thousand, and then writes an antibiotic. One tablet itself will cost you 150 rupees. And then you say, yeah, cha doctor. Ek tablet diya aur pata hi nahi chala ki kahan bhag gayi. Ye doctor ye hamesha cross hi nahi deta hai. Kahan se pata nahi seekh kya hai MBBS. Because it's your expectation. Because inside, deep inside, there is unknowingly, there is a mapping between higher cost and higher quality. When I buy a Tommy Hilfiger jacket which costs a few hundred thousand rupees, I proudly show, you know, 1 lakh ka hai. And then if I buy exactly the same thing from a neighborhood store, there is no difference between the quality, except that logo is not there, you know. The Tommy Hilfiger's one, it is not there. And it costs about maybe 10 or 20 times less. No, we refuse to believe it. Agar wo itna accha hota, it should have costed that much. Or the other way around. If it has costed that much, definitely it must be really good. Otherwise, why would he give only for 2,000? And why would he charge 100,000? So you see that? Because these are the unconscious influences that our expectations play on us without our knowledge. And we will explore some more. So when Robert Rosenthal, this comes from the Robert Rosenthal study again, what he found out was when a manager treats his team members as high performers, how will he behave with them? So the first thing, he gave 4 criteria. The first criteria of the quality is managers are more supportive, more friendly, and more accepting and encouraging in terms of providing the climate for their high performing employees. Correct? Most of you are also managers or leaders or heading labs. So if you have a high performing employee, how would you interact with them? First time any important project comes, who comes into your mind? The top performer. And they give more challenging projects. They give more opportunities for them to show themselves. That's the input. And the output is, they give more opportunities to speak. Whether it is in the groups, in the conferences, or to present their work. Let's take an example. You have 2 employees. You know that one is high-performing employee and the other one is low-performing employee. For whatever reason, based on their past record. So, you are attending a meeting. In the first case, you have this high-performing, you presented a design of yours. There is a problem you are trying to solve, so you propose your solution. And then you call this, then while you are presenting, this high-performance employee, he stands up and says, sir, I think there is a mistake in your design. You know, I think this should not happen like this, it should happen like this. Because he is a high-performance employee, what will be your reaction? what will be your reaction? Wow, he's really growing fast. He's able to point out mistakes in my own design. Very nice. Excellent signal of growth. Fine. Go to the next scenario. So he's a low performing employee. And then in that meeting, you presented the design, and indeed there was a mistake in your design. Okay, so this fellow stands up and then he says, sir, there is a mistake in what you are saying. What will be your reaction? Acha theek hai, bada aaya batane, baitho, we'll deal with it. Why? Because there is a mismatch in terms of your expectation. A low performing employee should not catch that bug. That's your expectation. And each time my expectation, when somebody performs against my expectation, I can't take it. You know, a high performing employee, if he performs low and I expect him to perform well, I feel bad. A low performing employee, if he or she performs well, I feel bad again. Because he is not supposed to be performing. Let me check again. And the fourth one they provide is feedback. It's called, it said, feedback is a breakfast of champions. So if you have a high performing employee, or you believe that that employee is high performing, you give more positive feedback. You give more opportunities to praise them and make positive reinforcement. And based on these four, we can say that like the teacher with the student and the trainer with the trainee, manager has a profound impact on the success or failure of the subordinate, all other things being equal. And if we assume or we believe that the employee is not well performing, or we have low expectations about these people, how do we communicate some of those? We seat them in low prestige offices. You know, they will not have any choice. They will be the last ones. Smiling less often and maintaining less eye contact. Kisi kaam ke nahi hai, mujhe diya gaya hai, kaam ko karana hi hai, theek hai aap ye kar do. Because you know they are not going to perform well. And you maintain less eye contact because it's a waste of your time. You smile less often because you don't have any respect for their capability. Giving them less information about what is going on in the organization or in the team. Why? Because you don't believe that it will be of any use for them. So you don't give them much information. Calling them less often to work on special projects and state their opinion. Because you believe they don't have the capability. So their capability or their opinion doesn't count. Now, why am I sharing this with you? It's not that as managers or as team members we consciously do this. Most of the time this happens unconsciously. The reason why I'm calling it out is to check for ourselves. If you are a manager, check. If you are trying to display unknowingly these kind of behaviors, that means without your knowledge you are communicating low expectations to your team members. And if you are a team member, the other way around, and your manager is doing this for you, it's a red flag. You might want to go sit across the table with your manager and check. You know, I observed this kind of behavior with you. Do you think I'm a, you know, high performance employee, or do you have very low expectations about me? So this checklist will help you. That's the reason I'm just trying to call out. And demanding less work and not providing any constructive feedback. Because we don't think that will have any impact on them anyway, so we don't even provide any constructive feedback. And based on whatever we have reviewed so far, whether it is in the field of health, in the field of personal growth, or in the field of managing a team or a group of people, we can make some observations. First one is we form certain expectations of people or events and even about ourselves. Agreed? Correct? And we communicate those expectations with various cues. Q means a signal. If you believe that person is great or good, how you interact with that person, and if you believe that person is not so well educated and he comes from the lower strata of the society, how do you interact? Because we communicate those expectations with various signals, and people tend to respond to those cues by adjusting their behavior. And we can see this a lot, especially with the kids and even our own team members. And the result is the original expectation becomes true. What we call it as self-fulfilling prophecy. And And this is very important. This is where we are going to talk about the few minutes about how I have to, if I want to change the performance of my team, how I need to change my own expectations, and what are the ways of changing those expectations. We will explore those in the next few minutes. So once formed, expectations about ourselves and others tend to be self-sustaining. You know, we summarize that in a very famous phrase. We say, I am like this only. Why did you do this? That's how I am. That's my nature. Whether it's with the kid or with myself, once they form, they tend to be self-sustaining. And very important, good managers produce employees who perform well and feel good about themselves. And bad managers produce employees who perform poorly and feel bad about themselves. Because a manager himself feels so bad about himself or herself that they feel so insecure, they communicate the same kind of behavior to their team members. And if you're a good manager, automatically your team will start getting those vibes. And they will help those other people to become better and good. And I'll show you a small clip, it's about 5 or 6 minutes, about when you are assigning a task to any of your team members, how manager's behavior impacts the result of that task. We will watch that in a small clip. So what you're going to see here is two scenarios in which you have two different sets of managers and two different sets of employees. So this is the first manager who's trying to tell one of her employees, team members, that about a new project that has come about, and then the employee needs to prepare a proposal which can be submitted to the organization. So from that perspective, watch this carefully. And in the second scenario, Same issue, but then how does the manager behave with the team member? Okay?
Interrupting anything.
No, come on in. You're right on time. Have a seat, please.
Good. All right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. I just got news of this new project that we have been assigned, and you were the first person that came to mind. I think you'd be great. Basically, it's a new concept for our company. It's a geospatial mapping. So I know it's like very different from what we've been doing, but you know, we're really trying to expand, and I just think you're so creative and you're very innovative, so I think that you would be perfect for this. Basically, we want you to come up with different ideas to market this GPS system. They're doing data mapping, and they want to use it for disaster relief, recovery stuff, up down in the Gulf after a hurricane, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Does that make sense, sort of?
Yeah, so it's FEMA using it and all these other government agencies.
Right. Okay. So we want to market it to FEMA. We want to market it to the city officials so they can have it, like the utility companies, basically, so they can map everything in the city, know where everything is, to reduce the amount of damage that's done after a storm while they're trying to do all the cleanup work.
Okay.
So I'd like it if you come up with 3 to 5 different options, some you know, campaign ideas that you have, different ways that you think that we can get that out to FEMA and out to the city officials. And maybe come up, you know, with a short PowerPoint to present to myself, other VPs, you know.
PowerPoint. And is there anything that's critical to the success of this undertaking? I mean, is it just one thing you're looking for? Is it the bottom line? Is it?
Yeah, right now it's, you know, in the early stages of development, so it's basically bottom line. Just what we can do to get this product out there so they know what it is and it's available to them.
Okay. I know exactly what I need to do. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
Right,
we'll get back to you next week. Feel free to come in anytime if you have questions.
Will do. Thanks.
Thanks. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good. I'm just trying to figure out exactly what I need here. Some different resources.
So. Great. So the project's going good. Looks like you're getting a lot of research in.
It's going great.
Great. Well, keep up the good work. You're doing an awesome job.
Thank you.
whole board is. They're definitely going to consider you in the future for more projects like this. So great job.
Well, I'm really happy. That's awesome.
Well, I don't want to keep you from your work, but I just wanted to give you a quick thanks and
tell
you how awesome you
did. Thanks for your encouragement.
Yeah, thanks.
Hey, team, are you going to that game this weekend?
Yeah, I have a break.
Can I go? You let him in real quick. So, you know, it should be. Hold on a second. The, you know, Auburn Tigers, they're really coming off a strong win. It should be pretty good.
I hope so.
Let me get this. So, Trey, did you have an email?
Yeah, call me.
Yeah, okay. Well, we got this project that we got it working on. You know, all of our top-level guys are pretty busy this week. They've been pretty swamped. And, you know, I know this may not be up your alley, and you may not be able to do a good job with it, but we just got to get it done.
I try my best.
So. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, just have it done by the end of the week, and, you know, send me an email with it, and that'll be fine, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll
see you later.
Yeah, I will. It should be pretty awesome. Cam Newton is a heck of a player.
He's having a doubt and he tries to ask his manager and see his response. So this thing, just get it done and just drop me an email. That's it.
Hey man, you started the fantasy league? Yeah, I know. Hey, hold on a second. Yeah, come in. Yeah, I don't know how I did that.
Hey, Mr.
Johnson.
Hey,
man, I might call you back. You called me? Sure, I mean, I got your report, and yeah. I don't know what you expect me to do with this garbage. I mean, you know, this is not what I asked for at all. No, I mean, I can't do anything with this. This is just a piece of crap. What do you want me to do with it?
I'm trying my best.
You know, you tried your best. That's all you got is you did your best, huh? Well, you know what? You can just get out of here. You can just leave. I don't know the future of you here in this company, but just get out of here. I can't talk to you right now.
I'm sorry.
It's terrible. It's horrible.
So you've seen that. In the first case, how the manager interacts with the team member and what kind of expectations he sets. And in the second case, how the manager interacts. We need to understand as managers and leaders that every word that we use, every action that we make, impacts the confidence level of our team members. What you display has a huge impact on they believing themselves. If you act as if you are useless, that is what they turn out to become. But if you start respecting that, yes, you can do it, yes, I will provide all the necessary support, then they will actually start delivering that. And then why as managers we should be worried about this Pygmalion effect? What is it that we can learn about it from this? Very classic example comes from Google. They have done, Google has a few thousand employees. Tens of thousands of employees. So what they tried to do was they collected all the data of their performance reviews, feedbacks, employee surveys, all of them they tried to look at it and they did a lot of number crunching and then finally came up with 8 qualities. 8 qualities which every manager should have if his employees need to perform well. So these are the qualities that every employee said we need to look for, we want to have in our manager, which all of us is useful for each one of us. So the first one, if you want to become a good manager, is be a good coach. Second one, empower your team and don't micromanage. It's very simple. I give you a report and I give you 2 weeks' time. But every 3 hours, I come and check. Did you finish? They said, forget it. You do the report. I'm not going to do it. Even your kid, if you keep checking every few minutes if he has written the homework or if he has done the job you ask him to do, he'll say, Amma, please don't disturb me. Okay, you asked me to do it, you gave me 2 hours, come after 1.5 hours, not after 10 minutes. So the second one is empower your team, don't micromanage. And very important, express interest in team members' success and personal well-being. It's not about project. It's about how are you doing? You know, how are things at home? Is everything fine? Is there some help you need from me? You are a professional manager, that's understood. But now we see here from this survey that expressing interest in the personal well-being is what the employee expects from his good manager. Don't be timid. Timid means, you know, being very weak. An employee wants to work with a manager who is strong and powerful. You know, there are two concepts of power. One is the real power, one is the perceived power. If my team member perceives me as powerful, even if I don't have the real power, I'm powerful. If my team member doesn't care a damn about me, even though I'm really powerful, I'm still not powerful. Because my team member doesn't believe it. So, the fourth quality is, they don't like timid managers. Be a good communicator, and unfortunately for most of us, communication means speaking. No. A large part of communication means listening. They want their manager to listen to them. And continued, help your employees with career development. Be focused even in the midst of turmoil. We will see that in a few minutes, how we can achieve that. Because employees, when your team is going through rough times, they look towards you as a manager, as an anchor. If you get frazzled and if you start getting confused, they'll get even more confused. And lastly, have key technical skills so that you can help advise the team. That's the last thing. Having key technical skills. Because most of us, we don't worry about the first 7. But now here is this excellent project that they have done. Well, you might say, Bala, this is a no-brainer. Do you think you have to, you know, interview thousands of people, do a lot of number crunching and then come up with this? But unfortunately, most of the truths in our life are no-brainers. It's just that we don't understand or we don't do them. So this is another example of such where you saw what are the qualities which employees want in a manager. And this is where this effect becomes very important. How can I become a good manager? By trying to empower my team members by having higher expectations and providing the needed support. And what are some of the takeaways coming to the end of our talk? The way managers treat their subordinates is subtly influenced by what they expect of them. What is my expectation from my team member translates into my interaction with my team member. If my interaction is not proper, I should go back and check what is my expectation from my team member. Very important. And manager transmits his or her own strong feelings of efficacy to team members. Whatever I think about my team members, whether I like it or not, I keep transmitting those feelings with the way I interact with them. Indifferent and non-committal treatment is non-productive. If the person is not performing well, you know, if you say, kya hua isko, 2 mahine hua hai, maine isse baat bhi nahi kiya hai, why is he sulking? As if that is not enough punishment. Not talking with your team member for more than 2 months. So non-committal and indifferent treatment is non-productive. And create high performance expectations and most important, provide needed support. It's not just enough to raise the bar as it is called in the organizations. Employees expect you to provide that support so that they can stretch themselves. It's not about creating or having a goal which is really impossible. They also want to improve, but they need that needed support. And very important, as we have seen over the last half an hour or 25 minutes, if you want to change your team, first change your expectation about them and thus change yourself. It's counterintuitive, what we started with. If I want my team to change, I need to change myself because automatically then the team will change. And this is where we have the concept of meditation, of how it helps leaders and managers, how spirituality comes into being for helping us become good managers and better leaders. So the first one, first suggestion is relax to recharge. Every day in the morning as well as in the evening, try to take a few minutes off your busy schedule. We are all busy, yes. And we all know we have to make time. Just take a few minutes and try to relax. and try to check your own thoughts, your own state of mind before you start interacting with your team. And understanding one's own spiritual identity. There's a difference between what I am and what I do. Agree? But most of the times I misunderstand what I do with what I am. I identify myself with a role, with the role I play, but it is just a role. When Obama walks into his home, he is just a father. He is not the most prominent president of the country in this world. For his kids, he is just a father. So roles keep changing, but I don't. So it helps to understand who I am. And creating a positive self-image through empowering thoughts helps me to have higher expectations about myself and thus from my team. And being able to make detached observation. What this means is the balcony view. Can I take a few more minutes? Okay. So, well, after the break, if you are interested, I will share the balcony view stuff because we are running out of time. And some of the benefits of meditation so that hopefully you are inspired enough to follow the meditation session for the next few minutes. For your health in terms of reducing heart attack or blood pressure or reduction in free radicals. At workplace, increasing the productivity and increasing the empathy. And at home, having better relationships. And in society, you know, having better sense of being a better citizen in the society. And in the summary of whatever we have discussed, manager is the Pygmalion. Manager is the sculptor. And employee is the sculpture, all things being equal. So if you want a good sculpture, first learn to become a good sculptor. Then automatically we get a very good sculpture. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Balkishore bhai. It was very enlightening. And a sentence I can just put it in gist. Expectations from others is transmitted in the form of feelings. So we need to understand our vibrations are much stronger than our thoughts and words. So we come to the next session of experience. Now I request Sister B.K. Hina to take us into the journey of peace. And I just to brief you about her. Sister Hina is in spiritual knowledge for the past 20 years. She is attached to SPAR. Professionally, she has over 7 years of experience in advertising and PR communications. As an image advisor, she is responsible for Prince Waterhouse Coopers, Tata Sky, Google, YouTube, Lotus India AMC, Multi Commodity Exchange, and AMC Shopper Stop, Metal Toys India, Eurokids International, and Paymate. So Hina excels in corporate PR, has a strong media connect, and plays a media advisory role in Crisis Cell of Perfect. Prior to this, she has worked in various other organizations. Hina is a commerce graduate and MBA specialized in marketing from Mumbai. So now I request Sister B.K. Hina to take us into the journey of silence.
Om Shanti. Brother Bala has clearly explained to us the techniques of being a good manager or a leader. We will now understand the application of this technique through meditation. What is meditation? Meditation is the science of understanding. It is understanding the very deep habits which are engraved in the self, in ourselves. Meditation helps to refresh the mind as it allows the tension and stress of negative thinking to leave the mind. What do we do in meditation? We collect the energy of our thoughts, then calm down, start to create thoughts of quality. We get many thoughts, but we have to start creating the thoughts of quality. It need not be 50 thoughts. It could be only 5 thoughts, but those would be quality thoughts.